part of that burnout is, wait, I'm putting my own life at risk. In the early phases, before there was a vaccine, we had clinicians moving into the garage so that they would protect their families.
Hi, welcome to HIMSCast. I'm Kat Jersich, Senior Editor at Healthcare IT News. The connection between electronic health records and physician satisfaction, and by extension, clinician burnout, is one that has been well explored over the past few years. And the COVID-19 pandemic has only made those issues more relevant. In a recent JAMA Network open commentary, Dr. Richard Barron, President and CEO of the American Board of Internal Medicine and the ABIM Foundation, explored why some physicians may be happier with their EHR than others and what organizations might do about it. So joining me today to discuss that commentary and the issue more generally is Dr. Barron. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So for folks that haven't read the commentary, could you just talk through a little bit about what it was about and what inspired you to write it?
The really heavy lifting work was done by a team at Harvard, Bruce Landon, David Bates, and others who studied using the National Database of Electronic Health Record Ownership, did a survey of practice of physician satisfaction with their EHR in their practice. And what they found with a lot of analysis was that people in practices that were physician owned had 10 points higher overall satisfaction with their electronic health record than physicians practicing in practices that were not physician owned. And I wound up learning about this when asked to review their manuscript by JAMA Open. And when they looked at the comments I made, they said, gee, we'd like you to write a commentary. And there it was. And I really was grateful for the opportunity.
Great. So what were some of your comments, again, for listeners who maybe haven't had a chance to read the commentary?
What I said about the study is that it was provocative and tantalizing. Provocative because it really was a significant difference in satisfaction, and tantalizing because nothing about the way their study was designed gave them an opportunity to answer the question why that might be true. So we were in the realm of rank speculation, which is always a great place to be as a commentator. They did try to identify some things that didn't really explain it. It didn't reliably seem to be about who felt like the EHR was taking time away from patients. It really seemed to be about the ownership structure. And what I found myself wondering, as somebody who adopted an electronic health record in my own small practice now almost 20 years ago, that one of the challenges in electronic health record adoption is, for many clinicians, it's something that happens to them, not for them. And that one of the things I reflect on in the commentary is that we went from give or take 4% adoption to 90-95% adoption over a decade. And if you ask yourself who trained the doctors to do that, the sad answer you'd have to give is it was probably compliance officers. It was people who said, here's what you need to do to meet meaningful use criteria so we can get the money from the government for having this system. And if you think about it, that would be as if the radiologists were taught how to use CT scanners by talking to radiation safety officers. There's something important about radiation safety and using a CT scanner, but the clinical purpose of using it gets lost. And I think the clinical purpose of using electronic health records, which is substantial, gets lost in a world where doctors are trained to say, be sure you help us meet these meaningful use criteria. And I think that its ability to be used as a tool to engage and excite clinicians is minimized when it happens that way.
So how does the fact of physician-owned practices sort of push back against that? Or how does that give clinicians more control or more investment in the tools that they're being asked to use?
That's a great question. And I think the answer is that physician-owned practices, by definition, physicians have more control over a variety of decisions that get made in a practice. And in our own practice, when we adopted an electronic health record, one of the first things we discovered was that there was a whole bunch of new work. And a bunch of it kind of automatically fell on the doctors because some of the things that other people used to do in very inefficient ways could now be done very efficiently by doctors, except they didn't need to be done by doctors. There just wasn't anybody else in the office to do them. So in a practice that we owned, we could say, you know, we need to hire somebody whose job will be to do these things. We don't have anybody in the office now who has that job because we didn't, there was no job to have until we had the EHR. But now that we do, we understand we're trading our time for not having this person. Hey, let's hire this person. In a practice owned by physicians, that's an argument that is going to resonate right up the management chain. In a practice not owned by physicians, that may be, you know, we've already got a lot of overhead in this practice. We don't want to add another person. And besides, that person isn't contributing any billable services. So why should we do that? And so there's a whole series of things that wind up needing to be reconfigured, rethought. And I'm sure one of the things your members are hearing is that a major driver of burnout around the country right now is what people call inbox overload. Now that we have this ability to put all these documents in front of doctors and to message doctors, there's massive amounts of inbox work that the doctors do. And this is one of the biggest drivers of people doing after hours work. And a huge percentage of that inbox can be done by someone who's not a physician. But you need to have a conversation with the physicians about what could be done by somebody who's not a physician, what should be done by somebody who's not a physician. And then you need somebody in a management position who has control over resources to enable those resources to appear to redesign that workflow.
Absolutely. As you're talking about sort of management being persuaded on board with these kinds of arguments that people who aren't producing billable services are still valuable to bring onto the team, even with overhead. Are there other tools in addition to the EHR or perhaps other technologies that physicians might be able to use more effectively in physician-owned practices? I guess what I mean by that is, are there other ways that burnout could be being alleviated beyond the EHR through more physician buy-in or through more management buy-in into what physicians want?
One of the things that an EHR can do in practice, and when I say this, people laugh at me and say, well, you haven't been in an office in a long time because that's not what actually happens. But one of the things it can do is it can position a physician to ask a question, how successfully am I achieving the goals for which I came to work today? And to be less abstract about that, no physician is going to work for their diabetics to have their diabetes poorly controlled or their hypertensives to have their high blood pressure poorly controlled or to have their women die of breast cancer that could have been picked up by screening. Physicians are trained to know how to manage high blood pressure. They're trained to know how to do screening tests for breast cancer. They're not reliably trained to know how could you use an electronic tool to answer the question, how successfully am I controlling the diabetes of the patients I care for with diabetes? How reliably am I getting women with mammograms screened for breast cancer of the women that I take care of? And the broad science of quality measures, which winds up in the current world being somebody else measuring physicians, can, in a world of electronic health records, be an opportunity for physicians to ask and answer questions about their own practice. So in my practice, shortly after EHR adoption, we had regular weekly meetings, and one of the doctors brought in a list, and this is, I'm talking 2000, boy, it's 7 or 8. One of the doctors brings in a list of all the patients in the practice on opioids, listed by clinician, and leading to a discussion of how are we doing this and how should we be thinking about this and how would we implement things like an opioid use contract? How would we implement a protocol for random opioid screening? this is a four-doctor practice where somebody says, I care how we're doing managing opioids, and EHRs could be a tool for me to answer that question. So I think another way to do it, it's not just supporting them, but it's inviting them and giving them tools so that they can ask and answer questions about how successfully they're being as the doctors they want to be. And that only works if when they have that conversation, then they're able to say, well, for us to get better at this, we need to do X and Y and Z. So there has to be some effector arm. There has to be some capacity for change. And again, this may be one of the things that in physician-owned practices is happening more. But with respect to burnout, fundamentally, the more agency people have, the more control people have, the more meaning they have in their work, the less burnout they have. And what drives burnout is not just the volume of work, but what I'll call the meaninglessness of work. And if we can improve the meaningfulness quotient, that the amount of work doctors are doing is more meaningful, that the kinds of questions they're able to answer are questions that matter to them, that can bring enthusiasm, joy, engagement for them to wind up being better doctors and be more successful at being doctors.
I did want to ask, I mean, I feel like I would be remiss in not acknowledging the fact that COVID-19 has sort of plunged clinicians into burnout, in part because of the overwork, in part because perhaps they feel as if their work isn't making a difference depending on where they are. So how do you see COVID-19 as having affected these feelings of buy-in, of these feelings of affecting change, whether or not that regards to EHRs or just speaking more generally?
Great question. And certainly a lot of it has been just the sheer volume of work. And a lot of it has been the need to constantly redesign the way that work gets done. And so people have a fair amount of change fatigue as you keep changing the rules and changing the policies and changing the way that we need to come together to meet patients' needs. We have an enormous amount of moral injury of patients suffering from, unfortunately, many of it preventable. There are some estimates that 60% of COVID deaths could have been prevented by effective vaccination campaigns. And that's a very big number. So clinicians, I think, have found themselves, part of that burnout is, wait, I'm putting my own life at risk. In the early phases, before there was a vaccine, we had clinicians moving into the garage so that they would protect their families, living in a hotel to protect their families. They're making all these sacrifices. And then they see people putting out blatant kinds of misinformation. And there's a lot of moral injury in that, too. And I know it's not the subject of this podcast, but ABIM and the foundation are prioritizing a response to misinformation involving both efforts to amplify the voices of board-certified doctors on social media. We're talking with social media companies about how to do that. And also, we've published policy that says it's unethical and unprofessional to put out false information during a pandemic, and that that could lead to loss of certification. And we have a disciplinary process, and they're always slower and more cumbersome than you might want. But we think that's an important responsibility that we have to support doctors who are trying to do the right thing in an environment where a bunch of people are undercutting their efforts to get their to keep their patients safe.
Absolutely. I definitely want to hear more about those anti-disinformation. I guess that's just information that yeah. It kind of zeroes out their campaigns, because I do think we are seeing with social media how quickly, what is that saying? A lie can run around the world before the truth has its boots on.
And right.
I think COVID-19 has really made that clear.
It sure has.
And I know we only have a few minutes left here, and I did want to ask, for organizations that are not physician-owned, but who do want to promote EHR satisfaction, you mentioned this a little bit, but what are some steps they can take to make physicians feel like they have some buy-in, to make clinicians feel like they are affecting change in their organization with regard to these technologies, or again, speaking more generally?
That's another great question, and an increasingly salient question, because You may be aware of an Avalara survey done, supported by the Physicians Foundation, which has been tracking basically ownership of physician practices and doing it in a comprehensive way. They're taking physician NPIs. This is, I think, fundamentally their tax consultancy. They're looking at physician NPIs and seeing what tax ID numbers they're associated with, and then looking at what's the nature of those tax ID numbers. And so it's a comprehensive survey of every doctor in the country that has an NPI. And what they're finding is that the rate of ownership of physicians losing ownership of practices to other organizations has accelerated during the pandemic. What they've now found is 52% of physicians in the country are working for hospitals or health systems, and another 20%+ are working for private equity or publicly traded insurance companies like United and Anthem, which have strategies of buying practices. So that's a long way of saying that it's great to see this difference between physician-owned practices and non-physician-owned practices, but in the US right now, three times as many doctors are working for non-physician-owned practices as are working for physician-owned practices. So the question you've asked is a critical question. And I think the answer goes to sort of basic management principles. I don't care what the organization is, if key workers in the organization feel disrespected, disconnected, not listened to, not brought in on decisions, not engaged in the way the organization runs, they will be alienated workers. And survey after survey after survey shows, no matter what the industry, that all across America, people are showing up with 50% of themselves at work because they feel disrespected and disconnected. And a core management strategy has to be serious dialogue and engagement with your employees in how do we get our job done better. And I think that the opportunity for management, no matter what the ownership structure of a practice is, for management to be in dialogue with frontline clinicians and asking scary questions like, how's this working for you? How's the EHR working for you? They're going to get a bunch of answers they're not going to like. That's the beginning of a conversation of what could we do to make it work better? Again, a bunch of answers they may not like because they may wind up being calls on resources. They may wind up being calls on staff. But if they want to be successful as a healthcare organization, having a group of alienated, disgruntled physicians who are burned out in COVID-19 and being more burned out by their EMR, the Great Resignation is affecting the medical profession too. Turnover among doctors is expensive, disruptive, and I would counsel any organization that is employing physicians to reliably have structures in place to be in dialogue with those physicians, in conversation with those physicians about what could we be doing differently to better meet the needs of our patients and to make you more successful at being a doctor and to make your life more sustainable. Those are the questions, conversations that I think need to be had.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Barron. This has been a wonderful conversation. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
And IU, thank you so much, Kat. It's really been a pleasure. And if any of your members want to engage me further, they can find me at rbarron@ebim.org. I'd be happy to engage in conversations because I think this is critical work. HIMSS has been at the forefront of the whole EHR implementation from the very beginning. And I really consider it a privilege to be able to connect with your members.
Wonderful. And to those listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get them. And stay safe out there.